Let's read together Exodus chapter 16. In this chapter, we have God's provision of the manna for the children of Israel and the first mention of the Sabbath. Exodus chapter 16, beginning of verse 1. And they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." Then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, "At evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your complaints against the Lord. But what are we that you complain against us?" Also Moses said, "This shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord hears your complaints, which you make against him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses spoke to Aaron, "Say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your complaints." Now it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke by Moses, saying, "I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God." So it was that quails came up at evening and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay all around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted there, on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance, as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's needs. One omer for each person, according to the number of persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent." Then the children of Israel did so and gathered, some more, some less. So when they measured it by omers, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. And Moses said, "Let no one leave any of it till morning." Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was angry with them. So they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need, and when the sun became hot, it melted. And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, "This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning." So they laid it up till morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Then Moses said, "Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none." Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called its name manna. And it was like white coriander seed, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Then Moses said, "This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Fill an omer with it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt." And Moses said to Aaron, "Take a pot and put an omer of manna in it, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations." As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel ate manna 40 years until they came to an inhabited land. They ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is 1/10 of an ephah. Well, let's begin our study this morning with some background notes. Soon after the children of Israel left the pleasant oasis of Elim, they began to grumble in the wilderness of Sin. Notice in verse 3 that the children of Israel don't say that they would like to go back to Elam, but all the way back to their slavery in Egypt. Can you believe it? What a slap in the face to the Lord. And yet God graciously provided meat and bread for the people. The quails for meat, verse 13, were not given every day, but bread was provided every day. They called it manna, meaning, what is it? Verse 15 and verse 31. Now, there have been a lot of attempts by skeptics to explain the manna in a naturalistic way, such as the edible product of a plant or tree. But all of these attempts fail to explain what the Bible says about the manna. It was bread from heaven. According to Psalm 78, Psalm 105, and John 6, as well as here in Exodus 16, the manna fell from the sky, not from a bush or tree. They called it bread of heaven. The manna fell every morning for 40 years, regardless of where the children of Israel were in their wilderness travels, and regardless of where they were in their spiritual condition. The manna fell on the day that they worshiped the golden calf, and on the following days as well. What a lesson for us in the grace of God. So God's provision of the manna was a miracle for which there is no naturalistic explanation. At the end of Exodus chapter 16, we have the first mention of the Sabbath in the Bible. We know from the creation account in Genesis that God worked for 6 days and rested on the seventh day. And now we find that the children of Israel were to follow this same pattern. God would provide enough manna on the sixth day, and it would not spoil overnight, so that they could rest on the seventh day, which was given to them as the Sabbath. Verse 29. So God gave his people the Sabbath to keep not as a hardship, but rather as the blessing of a day of rest. So much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal point number one. The manna was given to provide for God's people. The manna was given to provide for God's people. God graciously gave the manna to provide food for his people. The manna was a very versatile food. It could be baked or boiled, as we see in verse 23. Its color was white like coriander seed, which was an herb, and it tasted like wafers with honey. We see in verses 16 through 18 that they could gather and eat as much manna as they wanted or needed each day, but they were not to hoard it overnight, or it would go bad, except on the sixth day, when they would gather enough for the Sabbath day as well. Now we know from John chapter 6 that the manna is a type of Christ. I'm reading John chapter 6, verses 48 through 51. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." John 6, 48 through 51. As the manna was given to provide for the physical needs of God's people, so Christ, who is the true bread from heaven, was given by God to provide for the spiritual needs of his people. Christ is not only God's provision for our salvation, but for our spiritual sustenance as well. Notice that the children of Israel had to gather the manna every day, not just every other day or just once a week. In the same way, we must gather our spiritual food every day, not just once a week, on Sunday, for example. Now, how do we go about gathering our spiritual food every day? Obviously, it's as we spend time in the Word of God each day that we are spiritually fed. This is the way we feed on Christ as our spiritual nourishment. Sure, it's great to go to church every week and be spiritually fed with good weekly ministry, but we need fresh intake every day. How would your physical condition be if you only ate a good steak once a week? You certainly wouldn't be fit for functioning properly every day, would you? And just as physical food can spoil if not used, so spiritual food can go stale if not regularly and properly used. All of these lessons come to us from God's provision of the manna. The manna was given to provide for God's people. Doctrinal point number two. The manna was given to test God's people. The manna was given to test God's people. Verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not." The manna was a very good and staple food that God provided to meet the needs of his people, but it was not steak, and it was not ice cream, and it was not candy, and it was not the food of Egypt. Why not? We see here in Exodus chapter 16 and in Deuteronomy chapter 8 that the manna God provided was a test. And the way the manna was gathered was also a test. Would they obey God's rules? And would they be satisfied with what God provided, or would they long for and crave for the foods of Egypt? Well, we know the answer, don't we? God's people failed the test. Now, what about us? The Word of God is sufficient to meet all our spiritual needs. It is as we feed on the Word of God that we feed on Christ, the true bread. But some Christians are not satisfied with the Word of God as their spiritual food. In fact, I've had some Christians tell me that they get bored when they read the Bible. They would rather feed on experiences and feelings, or even the foods of Egypt, which is the food of this world in the spiritual picture that the Lord has given us here. Again, what about us? Are we satisfied with the spiritual food that the Lord has given us? The manna was given not only as provision for God's people, but as a test of God's people. We know from the biblical record that they failed the test. The children of Israel failed the test. We read in Numbers chapter 11 that the children of Israel murmured and complained about the manna, the food that God had graciously given his people. Well, I trust that we are not failing the test of the manna. The manna was given to test God's people. What about practical application? Tell your children about the manna. Tell your children about the manna. In verse 32, we read that an omer full of manna, that's probably about 2 quarts, was to be kept by the children of Israel so that future generations could see the bread that God provided for his people in the wilderness. We read in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 4, that this golden jar of manna was kept in the Ark of the Covenant, along with the 2 tablets of the law and Aaron's rod. Now, do you see the practical application? As the children of Israel were to show the manna to future generations and tell their children how God had provided for his people and tested his people, so we should share with our children how God has provided for us and tested us with his provision in Christ, the true manna. Let me ask you, when was the last time you shared with your children some spiritual food that God gave you from his word? Or how God tested you with the truth of his word? As Christian parents and grandparents, we have a responsibility to do this. You know, just this past week, we were playing Bible charades with our grandchildren, Callie and Connor. And just last night, we were reading Bible stories to John, our grandson. It gave us an opportunity to share the lessons of the Bible stories with them. This is good. Tell your children about the manna.